Message title is, Who? Me? You know, sometimes I think when we think about God at work and us as God's children and what God's got for us, it's sort of about, well, okay, well, that's the job of the bloke that loves to get up the front and talk all the time, the pastor. Well, you know, God will do some amazing things through the pastor, or God will do some amazing things through one or two or three other people because they're just amazing Christians. But what about me? You know, who, me? It's often our attitude in church life. Well, what can I do? Who am I? Who am I that in the life of this church of 100 or thereabouts people, oh, you know, I'm just a nobody in the life of the church. Well, that is not true. That is not true at all. Every single person is precious to Jesus. Right from the beginning, every single person is precious to Jesus. And every single person is part of what God wants to do for the rest of the year. It's not just the people up the front. It's not just the people who you see all the time. It's not just those people. It is every single one of us that needs to be in this. What can God do through ordinary you? Now, I think we're a pretty level-headed church. I don't think we're a church of superstars. We're just ordinary people with simple faith. I think as I try to think about our church, I think that's us. We're just ordinary people with simple faith. We just love Jesus. But we serve an extraordinary God. And that makes all the difference. That makes a world of difference. That makes a year of difference. That makes a difference into 2024. We serve a God who takes ordinary people to places that they never thought possible. Now, this series is based on Hebrews 11. Some people have called that the Bible's Hall of Fame, and I just encourage you to read that through the week, bearing in mind Mark's preaching on something different next week. But from then on, for the next 4 weeks after that, just keep reading it. Just read it and devour it and just allow God to speak into your life through it. It's God's Hall of Fame. And Hebrews 11, it lists some famous Old Testament characters. Moses and Abraham, Noah, Joshua, Samson, David, Samuel, amongst others. And we're going to have a closer look at why the writer of Hebrews thinks these people deserve to be in the Bible's Hall of Fame. Now, before we go any further, a whole heap of people are sitting here today thinking, well, I'm not Moses, and I'm not Abraham, and I'm not Noah, and I'm not Joshua. I'm nothing like any of those people that are in the Hall of Fame. Well, here's the thing. Listen really, really carefully. Here's the thing. That appears to be the thing. I'm not real sure. It appears God's got something else to say. Maybe I just need to sit down and and be quiet, and that's all right. I'm not Moses, I'm not Abraham, I'm not Joshua, but here's the thing. Before they became famous, they were just ordinary people. Sometimes, you know, fame and maybe a famous sports person or something like that, famous singer, you know, they're just so famous, they are so good at what they do. But they were born as ordinary people. And they had a little bit of a talent, they had an ability, and they loved something, they loved the sport, they loved the music, they loved singing, they loved whatever it is. They just loved these things, and they sort of grew up and got involved in these things. And somewhere along the line, somebody noticed them and said, hey, I want you in my team. And that was the best team, and went on from there, and they end up in representing Australia. But they were ordinary people, just ordinary people. And that's who we are. Before God gets a hold of us and we sit back in our chair and we come in Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, God says, but hey, hang on a minute. I love ordinary people, and I can use you for my kingdom. So the point of this series, it's not how can I become another Moses or another Abraham or another David. It's not that at all. The point is, what can we learn from these ordinary people that ordinary us can add into our lives that will make a positive difference for the kingdom of God in 2024? That should be our goal for the year. Whatever resolution you've made, and maybe you have, it's all gone by now because you broke it already. All of us should be thinking, I'm just an ordinary person, but God can use me to do positive things for his kingdom. Now today we're thinking about Moses. So I'm just going to read to you the little section in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. So we're not going back into the Old Testament to have a think about that whole story. We're picking up where the New Testament writer, he's acknowledging who these people were. Because of their faith, God used them to do amazing things. So Hebrews 11, 23 to 29. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. First thing that we need to understand, if just ordinary old me is going to be used by God this year, we just need to understand that you need to be yourself. Moses understood that he just needed to be himself. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And we know the story of Moses. He was put in a basket. He was born, he was put in a basket because all the Hebrew children were going to be killed. He's put in a basket and the princess found him and adopted him. And the interesting thing for me is that it was his mother who nursed him. Just a little sneaky little thing happening in there, that Moses' mother nursed him until he was old enough that he didn't need a mother anymore, his mother anymore, and he could take his place in the palace. So he knew who he was. He knew his heritage. He knew he was a Hebrew and not an Egyptian. And once he got that sorted out, he was able to move into the future that God had for him. And I think that being yourself is so important. Just being yourself. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Of course I'm just being myself. But so often, we're not being ourselves. We live in a culture where we are bombarded with suggestions that we need to be somebody else to be somebody. Not ourselves, we need to be somebody else to be somebody. It's called advertising. If you buy this product, well, then you'll be beautiful. If you drive this car, then you'll be successful. If you drink Coca-Cola, you'll have more fun. If you sign up with eHarmony, you'll find the love of your life and live happily ever after because they get who gets you. It's thrown at us all the time. Don't be satisfied with yourself. Be somebody else, and it's going to happen if you've got all of this stuff around you. Speaking of eHarmony, I was talking with one of the blokes at Supreme Caravans one day. He was pretty rough and ready, and he's about 35 years old. But we were just having a bit of a chat, and he said, Greg, I want to settle down. I want to settle down. I want to find the right girl. I want to have a family. And he was right into the dating apps. So I said, well, how do these dating apps work? Well, I never had to do it, and I hopefully will never, ever have to do it. He said, well, don't go on such and such an app, because that app is full of people who use a fake photo and their info isn't true. And I said, well, what happens when you're sort of chatting over the internet and you make a date and you're going to meet this person? What happens then? You know, And he said, well, that's why you don't go on that site. He had them all sorted out. These people trying to be somebody else. If I can't be myself and find the love of my life. I've got to put a fake picture up. I've got to put fake bio up. I've got to fake information. And in the end, they still find nobody, because when they meet up and they're not the same, well, for me, bang, that's it. I wouldn't even bother saying good day. I'd go out the door. Reminds me of the lady who went in for some cosmetic surgery, and she had a significant scar on her face, and while she was on the operating table, she suffered a cardiac arrest and died. She wafted up to heaven and she pleaded with God. She said, God, I'm too young to die. I'm only 40 years old. Just let me live. I just want to see my kids married. I want to play with my grandkids. Just let me die of old age. Please, I'm too young to die. And God said, okay, I'll give you another 40 years. So she came to on the operating table and she thought to herself, I've got another 40 years. I'm going to make the most of this. So she got the cosmetic surgeon while she was there to do a whole heap of liposuction and Botox in all the right places that might be helpful. She had a facelift, she had a tummy tuck, she had her teeth straightened and whitened, she had a nose job and breast implants. She had the works, absolute works. 2 weeks later, after the swelling and bruising had subsided, she was stunningly gorgeous. Stunningly gorgeous. She was released from hospital, and with a huge smile on her Botox lips, she walked across the road and bam! Got hit by a bus, died before she even hit the ground. Wafted up to heaven, she saw God. She was absolutely furious. God, you said I had another 40 years. You should have seen the bus and you should have stopped it and saved me. God said, well, I would have, but I didn't recognize you. Psalm 139, verse 13. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God made you to be you. God made you to be the way you are. He made you with your personality. He made you with the interests in life, the things that interest you and the things that don't interest you at all. He made you with the passions that you have. You know, some things we're just so passionate about. Other things we couldn't care less about. God made you that way. He wired you up in your mother's womb to be who you are. And he wired you up so that he can do the things that he wants to do through you. He doesn't make mistakes. And when you were in your mother's womb, God was thinking, I want this person and I want them at 2024 to be involved in this and to say this and to do this, because I've got a plan. I've got a plan for 2024. And all you have to be, the starting point of God using ordinary you, is to just be yourself. Just be yourself. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to be the famous people. Don't try to be somebody that you admire in the church. That's okay. You admire their faith. It's a bit of a role model for you. That's fine. But don't try and be them. Just be yourself. The second thing that we can learn from Moses is to make good choices. And I probably should have put in there, make God's choices. One and the same thing, I think. Your life is shaped by the choices you make. And if we just paused here for a little while and just had a little meditation spot, and just had a little think about your bad choices, it shaped your life. It shaped circumstances, at least for that point in time of your life. If we had a little continued that thought and thought about the good choices we've made and where you are in life because of those good choices, the choices that you make shape your life. Moses worked out who he was. And in verse 25 says, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He worked out who he was. He made the choice to align himself with the people of God. This was his heritage. And that was the stepping stone for God making Moses one of the significant leaders of the people of God. It's really interesting because we live in a culture where blaming others for bad choices is normal. Have you noticed that? I want you to think about that this week. I want you to identify in your own conversations. I want you to think, what are you doing? Something's going on in your life. Are you just blaming other people? In your conversations with other people through the week, just listen to the conversation. What's going on? Because you'll pick up really, really quickly that our culture is saturated with the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. In my words, stupid has become the new common sense. We just want to blame everybody else instead of having a bit of common sense and realizing, hey, it was me. I was the problem. We live in a culture where burglars sue homeowners because the dog bites them when they're trying to break into the house. That's a fact. I say sharpen the dog's teeth, but I'd probably get into trouble for that. One drunk driver, this is a fact, sued the pub for serving him beer and getting him drunk. No responsibility. The responsibility is I am walking into this place, I'm sitting at the bar, I'm ordering another one, another one, another one, another one, another one, another one. Take responsibility for our lives. Take responsibility for the choices that we make. Just recently on the news, the floods in Queensland, they've been terrible, they've been tragic, but one council were blaming the Bureau of Meteorology for not forecasting that there was going to be floods. That drove me mad on the news. I thought, come on, give me a break. It's nobody's fault. It just happened. That's life. We live in a culture where we don't make good choices and then we blame everybody else. And while you're busy blaming everybody else, you never fix your own issues. See, if you can convince yourself that it's somebody else's fault, you don't have to do the hard yards of fixing yourself. But the problem with that is that you just remain miserable. You just remain in this cycle of never fixing yourself and just repeating your own mistakes over and over and over again. You see, our faith is about surrendering ourselves to Jesus. And that includes identifying the bad habits and inviting the Holy Spirit to change us. God knit us together in our mother's womb, but who we are is also influenced by our sinful human nature. We can take our passions and our interests and we can choose the passions that are going to hurt us. Or we can choose the passions that are going to be helpful to us. So what we need to do as human beings, as Christians, is we need to surrender our whole lives to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to redeem us. We understand that sort of the most basic way and probably the most common way we talk about that is the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. After that is the process that the theologians called sanctification. It's the process of becoming more and more and more and more and more like Jesus as the days go by. It's the process of growing into our faith. It's the process of getting rid of the stuff that shouldn't be there and adding into our lives the things that should be. And little by little, the list of things on our not-to-do list is getting smaller and smaller, and the list of things on our to-do list is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This is who we're meant to be. You can't become more like Jesus until you identify your own problems, and you can't identify your own problems while you keep blaming other people. Moses took responsibility for his own life. He made a choice, and it wasn't an easy choice. He made a choice to identify as a Hebrew, not as an Egyptian. He made the choice to roll up his sleeves for God's people rather than wallow in the sin of the Egyptian palace. And in doing so, he put himself in a place where God could use him. So be yourself, make good choices, and thirdly, keep your eyes on Jesus. Verse 27, by faith, this is Moses, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He saw God. He saw God behind his life. For us as Christians, we're talking New Testament now, for us, God is invisible. Jesus is invisible. The Holy Spirit is invisible. but we can still surrender to Him, knowing that He loves us and cares for us. And in thinking about 2024, He has a task for us. The bottom line for Moses, it wasn't what he could achieve. He didn't say, "I'm going to identify as a human, as a Hebrew. I'm going to identify as a Hebrew. Then I'll lead God's people into this miraculous thing. We'll get them out of slavery, and we'll move through the desert. We'll head towards the promised land." He had no idea of any of that. Nothing, none at all. So it wasn't about what he could do. Moses achieved great things for God because he just set out to honor God. He set out to hear Him. He set out to listen to Him. He set out to be obedient to Him. The story of Moses could be the story of anyone in this room. The story of Moses could be the story of anyone in this room, including the quite a number of people who are saying, "You're kidding." I'm not kidding. Moses had self-doubts. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. And he had hardship in his life. But God took an ordinary little slave baby, used him to become the leader of His people, used him to mold God's people into a nation, used Moses to bring them to the verge of the promised land. What can God do through ordinary you who have your own self-doubts, who isn't perfect, who makes mistakes, and has hardships in your life? What can God do through ordinary you? Well, He needs you just to be yourself. He needs you to make good choices. And He needs you to keep your eyes on Him. And there's no reason why at the end of time God won't move down the line and say, "Well done, Moses. Well done, Abraham. Well done, Paul. Ah, Gisborne Church of Christ. Welcome to the team section of my Hall of Fame." Why couldn't He say that? Why wouldn't He say that? It's up to us. The beginning of 2024, we've got a whole year ahead of us. What can God do through ordinary you? Well, I'm still excited because that is going to be interesting to see that unfold for the rest of the year. You with me? Yeah, hope so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that as we sit here, we're just ordinary people. We know that. We know our life. We know who we are. We know that we're probably not destined to lead a nation. But Lord, there's just things in this year that You want of us. Even ordinary us. Maybe it's just a little conversation with somebody is going to be earth-shattering and life-changing. Or maybe it's just a little act of service, that just getting involved in some things and just hoping for the best. Lord, maybe that's going to transform a situation. Lord, Your ideas are much bigger than ours. And help us to look up. Help us to look up to what's possible. Not to try and grab fame and glory, but to serve You just from the honesty of our own ordinary hearts. Lord, I pray that as we march into 2024, that by the end of the year, as we look back on a year just gone, that we all might be able to say, "Wow, never saw that coming. Never thought I'd be able to do that. Never thought I'd be able to say that. Never thought I'd be able to make a difference for Your kingdom." Lord, we stand here at the beginning of the year, and Lord, I just pray on behalf of us all just to say, Lord, we surrender to You. We want You to do what You want to do in our lives as individuals, and then in our life as a church. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.